When I was an Army chaplain, my soldiers asked me all kinds of questions about God, life, relationships, the Bible, and I answered them as best I could. They also called me Padre. Welcome to the Dear Padre podcast. Today we have a really amazing story about Jacob and Esau and Rebecca and Isaac and deception and lies. And the part I missed commenting on when I was reviewing the little talk I did was the part where Isaac says, "My son Esau is a hairy man." So I just want to get you ready for that line. It's a really great one, and I hope you enjoy. A reading from Genesis chapter 27. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called his elder son Esau and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "See, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. Then prepare for me savory food, such as I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me game and prepare for me savory food to eat, that I may bless you before the Lord before I die.' Now therefore, my son, obey my word as I command you. Go to the flock and get me two choice kids, so that I may prepare for them a savory food for your father, such as he likes. And you shall take it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to his mother Rebekah, "Look, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a man of smooth skin. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him, and bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my word and go get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared savory food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. And she put the skins of the kids on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she handed the savory food and the bread that she had prepared to her son Jacob. So he went into his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game so that you may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went up to his father Isaac, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy, like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it to me, that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's a story of deception, a story of Isaac, who is blind, can't see, being deceived by his wife, Rebekah, by his son. Esau is out in the field hunting. We see here the character of Jacob, the patriarch. His name means the one who grabs the heel while he's being born with his twin brother Esau, who comes out first, firstborn son. Esau comes out behind him, grabbing onto his heel. Whether he's actually grabbing his heel or just that's sort of an expression for being behind someone, hard to say. But he's the second-born son of twins. Last week on Wednesday, we had triplets here. Ty's two brothers are triplets, and they get together a couple times a year. And they got together here in Texas in the winter, which is wise to do. And I asked them which was born first. And, you know, they told me, yeah, this one was born first, second, third. But who's counting? Well, they were. And Jacob and Isaac are the same way. He says, his mother wants Jacob, who is the one who likes to stay in the tent and cook, wants Jacob to get the blessing instead of Esau, who's always out hunting. We see here the two different characters of Jacob and Esau, these two young men. Here we see the split in all human civilizations between the hunters and the gatherers, so to speak, or the hunters and the agricultural workers, this split between a community that hunts for food and a community that grows it out of the ground and from the flocks of goats and things. So this deception is something that Isaac has already done to his wife, Rebekah, many years before when he lies about her and says, "It's not my wife, that's my sister." And now Rebekah is lying to him. That's the problem with lies. Once you start them, you can't really stop them. And you can't really stop other people from doing it to us. So the liar has now been lied to by the ultimate liar that will come along in the life of the patriarchs. It's not Rebekah, even though this is her scheme. It is Jacob who will become the supplanter, the heel grabber, the liar, the trickster. He will go on from this to trick a lot of other people. But here he tricks his own blind father in this great and steals the blessing from Esau, his older brother. The irony of this story is many, and we contemplate it, that lies, as C.S. Lewis says, are the child's first armor. The lie is the child's first protection. When you're a child and you're scared and someone comes up to you and says, "Where is the cookie?" And you have a choice there, to protect yourself from harm, judgment, anger, you lie, or to tell the truth and then get like the consequences of that. Lying is a form of self-protection. There are probably times and places where it's right to lie. The classic example being the Nazis knocking on your doors, where are the Jews that you're hiding? It's right to lie to evil people. And yet, when we lie to people that we are in a relationship of trust with, it's really hard to get that back. Trust rides, how does the old Donald Rumsfeld quote? Sorry for using him as a quote, but this one stuck with me. Trust rides away on a swift horse and comes walking slowly back. Trust rides away real fast when the lies start being woven. And so we see here the problem of lying to get a blessing. But we also see this other thing here in Jacob's life, that he goes along with it, and he's actually better at it than his mother can hope for. She supplies the lie, the materials for the lie, but ultimately it is he who does it in such a skillful way that he tricks his own father. Here we see something else in Jacob the success of his lies. He doesn't get caught. He's very successful in his lies. And so he becomes, he embodies this lie. Now he has the blessing, but he got it through a lie. And so this blessing has, as he says in his own words, become a curse to him. This is how it always works. When we take shortcuts, we always get cut short. Whenever we try to hurry things along in life, we always find ourselves right back where we started, or maybe even further back. But that's okay, because Jacob is on a journey with God. And in spite of this horrific lie that will soon result in his being kicked out of the family, running for his life, his brother trying to kill him, he is now on the path that God has set him to. Can you look back at the times in your life where you tried to take a shortcut, where you thought, you know, I want that good thing, it's right in front of me, and yet I don't want to wait for it. I'm going to go right for it. And I look back in times in my life and I say, yeah, I should have waited a little bit longer. I could have waited a little longer, but I didn't. And so now I'm having to come back from the fallout from all that. This is the human condition, and Jacob embodies it better than anybody. And so God is working through Jacob to show him who God is through this deception, through the consequences of his deception. And so we are kind of like Jacob in the story. Sometimes we're like Esau, being lied to. Sometimes we're like Isaac. Sometimes we're like Rebecca. But these are human beings who are in a covenant relationship with God. And so everything they do is part of what God is doing in the world. And it's true with us too. God can even work through the things that we make mistakes in, the things that we fail in, the things that we feel like, man, I should have made a different decision years ago or months ago. All of those things that are regrets in our life that we feel shame about, that is all something God can work with to make us who God wants us to be. And that is the blessing of Jacob that blesses us today.